It's good to be back after an unexpected and undesired hiatus last week. So thanks to Nate for pinch hitting. It was Thursday. I've prepared sermons when I've had the flu lying in bed, but Thursday morning I called him and said, "You're on." That's it. I don't think I can do it. So thanks to Nate for that. We're going to be back to Ezekiel, back to the Old Testament this week. And 2 weeks ago, while we were there, we're going to be in Ezekiel 34 in particular today. 2 weeks ago, when we were there, Nate sort of began our exploration of Ezekiel. He opened with a fill in the blank, and he said, "There's no place," and you said, "like home." So kind of picking up with that theme and another fill in the blank, fill in this blank. Home is where the heart is, right? It's very sentimental, right? It has a nice ring, a nice feel to it. But what does it actually mean? Or we could ask it this way. What makes home, home? What makes home, home? So for example, we know that a house doesn't make a home, right? So when you're in your bed and you've got 102 fever and you're achy and you're stuffy and you can't breathe and you're tossing and turning and you can't sleep, you can get no relief, even though you're in your own bed under your own roof, do you feel at home? I didn't. Maybe you do. I did not. What makes home, home? And how do we get there? Well, very familiar passage in Ezekiel, probably one of the top two or three popular passages or known passages from Ezekiel's 34, and we'll explore that a little bit this morning. Let's begin in verse 1. We'll read just a little over half the chapter. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." And so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. "And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. And my sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flocks when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and the ravines and in the settlements in the land, and I will tend them in a good pasture. And the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats." Dropping down to 23, he continues on with this theme of judging and between those who are actually in the flock. But here's what God will do. "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and will be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Of course, the motif continues and we close with 31. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we are not left without a shepherd. And so we sing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we trust your tender care as we gather as exiles, as aliens and strangers. We acknowledge we need your tender care. May it be so now through our meditations and even the words that are spoken. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So Ezekiel is this book that is about a people who've been booted from their home. And now the citizens of Judah who are in Babylon, they're feeling rather homesick. And so Ezekiel is about a longing for home, and yet it's also about learning to cope with being homesick, about learning to cope with being away from home, and how God is still actually present with us, even in the midst of such duress. So we're meeting this people of exile, and we get to the scriptures, and if you're reading the Old Testament with us, and you'll continue in Daniel this week, you'll get a sense of, you know, what does it look like to live in exile? And we'll read that in exile, God's people can ascend almost to the highest offices in the land. And yet God's people in exile might often also face lions' dens and fiery furnaces. But in the midst of all this is a longing for home. There's a homesickness that permeates all of this. You ever been homesick? Perhaps it's a long trip and you're just ready to get home. The vacation didn't go quite as you had planned. Or you're just gone too long and you missed the house, you missed the routine. It's sort of homesickness is a common motif for us. I mean, that's what Ezekiel is addressing here, what the Lord is addressing through Ezekiel. But we experience it, right? Because we've experienced a little taste of what it means to be in exile. And when we find ourselves in exile, that's when we find ourselves to be homesick. Songs are sung about it, right? About home, about being homesick. We sing Sweet Home Alabama. If you go to the popular catalog, there are Americana songs, Home, Home on the Range, My Old Kentucky Home. I don't know if we have anybody of the Flo Rida generation, but he's saying about My House. There's My Town by Montgomery Gentry. There's Pink Houses in Small Town by Mellencamp. If you grew up in the 80s, you remember Our House in the Middle of Our Street. There's Our House by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. There's My Hometown by Bruce Springsteen. There's Homeward Bound by Simon and Garfunkel. There's Two of a Kind and Working on a Full House. Different song about home by Garth Brooks. All that is to say is there is a clear longing in the human heart for home. Some of the lovers in here were looking at each other when I mentioned about Two of a Kind, Working on a Full House, but that's as far as we'll go with that. Just longing for home in the human heart. And the Israelites, the Jews, will sing songs about home while they are in exile in Babylon. I think Nate referenced Psalm 137 a couple of weeks ago. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. We sat and we wept when we remembered home. And there on the poplars, we hung our harps. For there our captors ask us for songs, and our tormentors demanded songs of joy. And they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Sing us one of the songs about your home. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land, they ask. But then they answer, if I forget you, Jerusalem, if I forget you, my home, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem, if I do not consider home, my highest joy. In Ezekiel, they've been scattered. They aren't home. Their bodies are not where their hearts are. And if you've ever sung with 21 Pilots, wish we could turn back time to the good old days where our mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out, then you get a sense of their song. It's a dirge, really. Because when you're in exile, we tend to want to sing not happy songs, but the blues. I suspect you felt homesick. I have suspect you have felt exiled at some point in life. That teenage, heartbreaking experience, small taste of what it's like to live in exile. If you've ever lost a job so the fat cats could make more money, perhaps you've gotten a taste of what it means to live in exile. If you've ever been harassed or bullied sexually, physically, or verbally, you've gotten a taste of what it means to live in exile. If you've ever been discriminated against because of race or gender, you've gotten a taste of what it means to live in exile. If you've ever been through an unexpected divorce or prematurely lost a child, you've gotten a taste of what it means to live in exile. If you've ever felt lost, directionless, and without purpose, you've gotten a taste of what it means to live in exile. If you've been without friend and alone, it's a taste of what it's like to live in exile. If you've ever been depressed or wrought with anxiety, a taste of exile. And then when you're in exile, you find yourself on the far side banks of Jordan, and you sing, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and I cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, because that's where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for home." But today feels like exile. And the ironic thing in all of this, though, is that these sheep who have been scattered in Ezekiel 34, those who are now homesick, those who are suffering the consequences, they're suffering because they made themselves too much at home in this world. You go back to Samuel, the prophet, the judge. It's no small thing when the Israelites come to him and say, "Give us a king so that we can be like the other nations, so that we can be at home in this world among these other peoples." And all of this would be okay if their kings would sing the song that says, "The Lord is my shepherd." But if your king sings, "Baal is my shepherd," or "Asherah is my shepherdess," or "I am my own shepherd," then exile is the destination. You don't have to look beyond Genesis 2 to understand human nature. You don't have to look beyond Genesis 2 to understand exile and homesickness. Adam and Eve are saying, "We will be our own shepherds. We will rule ourselves." And so the royal couple is exiled from the kingdom. They are exiled from paradise. And so it is for you, and so it is for me. Anytime we make ourselves the shepherd, we have bought a one-way ticket to exile. And how do you get out? How do you escape? How do you go back home? Again, that's the further irony. Things were better at home than in Babylon, but things weren't perfect there either. And it began at the top with those shepherds, with the kings. And this is language for kings here, not actual shepherds tending actual sheep. Figuratively speaking, these are the kings. These are the rulers. These are those who are in authority. This is actually a great, if we wanted to take that take on it, a great political text or a great Reformation Sunday text. So you can have those thoughts in your mind as well. And we speak here more broadly. What does the Lord say about these so-called shepherds? "Woe to you who only take care of yourselves. You should take care of the flock. You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool, and you slaughter the choice animals, and you take the best for yourselves, but you're not taking care of the flock. The people are being fleeced by those who are in charge. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill, and they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." not only that, but as we kept reading a little bit, there was that notion of the rams and the goats, the sheep, and just judging between the sheep. Not only is there a problem with the rulers, but sometimes the flock didn't treat each other well either. And the exiles are longing for the good old days, but the reality is those days weren't perfect either. Now, in our favorite book, Ecclesiastes, he addresses this. He says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. Those are the words of someone who understands this world is not his home. Augustine picks up on the sentiment, our hearts are restless, O God, till they rest in thee. We can pick up on the sentiment Nate shared a couple of weeks ago. True sanctuary is not in a place. True sanctuary is not geography of a place. It's the geography of the heart, I think he said. And sometimes our bodies can be in the right place, but our hearts be far from where they should be. Jesus put it this way, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also, which means the inverse is true. Where your heart is, there is your home. Where your heart is, there is your home. That being the case, we have to ask, is exile all bad? This is where the providence of God comes into play. Sometimes it takes exile to remind us of our true home, doesn't it? Sometimes it takes exile to remind us that there are things that we've put in our hearts that cannot satisfy. There are things that we have put in our hearts that cannot fulfill us and that cannot rescue us or not save us. And eventually we realize once in exile how broken we are, how broken our systems are. We realize that we're part of, well, we have responsibility in this too. It's not just the shepherds. Now, that's not to say the shepherds are going to be off the hook. In fact, God says they're not. They could have and they should have been faithful stewards of what God entrusted to them. But instead, they were not. They took the best for themselves. And this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will remove them from tending the flock. They will be demoted. So let's take that notion, just move from the sort of the macro to the micro, the large to small for just a minute, because we're talking about leaders at a broad level, but I'm wondering if this might apply to us, particularly in context of when Ezekiel talks about judging between the flock, between one sheep and another, between the rams and the goats. So I'm wondering if this might apply to us. We're in the middle of round two of leadership cohort this year, and you may or may not consider yourself a leader based on the title that you carry or the position that you hold in your place of work. You may not consider yourself a leader in this respect, but the reality is God has entrusted something to you. God has entrusted something to you. He has given you time. He has given you talents. He has given you resources. He has given you gifts. God has entrusted something to you. And with that, you have the potential to impact and to influence other people. Your sphere of influence is your area of leadership. It's your opportunity to act as a shepherd yourself. Jesus addresses it in different language when he talks about talents, right? One gets five, one gets two, one gets one. Well, the first two come all right, come out all right. They double what's been given. But one decides he will not use the talent he's been given. And he, like the shepherds, and like the separation of the sheep, will be judged. So now all of a sudden we're looking at this passage from two angles. Both from the fact that we're sheep and we're in exile, but at the same time, in the midst of this exile, we've been given gifts and we're to act as shepherds. That's the paradox. We need a shepherd, But the shepherd's invited you to be a part of the shepherding work, and he's given you shepherding responsibilities. That makes me a little nervous. I need some good news. And of course, that's what Ezekiel 34 is about. It's about the good news. How do I go from this position of being exiled? How do I go from this position of frankly failing my responsibilities as a shepherd to finding comfort and peace? The Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered in a day of clouds and darkness. I myself will tend my sheep and I'll have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. In the midst of this, all of this, is a thought of what is to come. And one will come and he will pick up on this exact language. And he will say, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Jesus, in other words, in the words of Luke 15, is the shepherd who leaves the 99 to rescue the one. Jesus wants to rescue you from your exile. Jesus wants to cure you of your homesick heart. And so we read in Ezekiel 34, before this is fulfilled in Jesus, we read about this exile and about these people of Judah and about this rescue mission. This passage, it speaks to us today. It's for those of us who feel displaced. It's for those of us who are weary of the politics and the power and the pain of this world. This passage is for all of us who sense that things in this world are not as they should be. It's a passage for those of us who have come to realize that this world is not our home. It is a passage for those of us who know that we are in exile, that we are aliens and strangers here. And it points to the homecoming because it points to Jesus that we all long for. And that's the good news, is there is a shepherd who knows the way home, who will lead you and guide you. And more than that, he will take you there. And he simply says, come follow me. But with that invitation, he also invites you to join in the work. And it's simpler than you might think. All you have to do is learn a song. And it's called, The Lord is My Shepherd. And as you learn to sing that song, take it, teach it to others, and you can journey home together. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and give you praise and honor and glory that the good shepherd has laid down his life for we sheep. And he's laid down his life that we might be forgiven for those times we've decided we would be our own shepherd. And so, Lord, as we come to this table, your table, hear us as we acknowledge our weakness, our sin, our brokenness, and our homesickness before you. Hear us, O God, as we pray.